This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Holy Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون صدق الله العظيم. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put salawat and salam on his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that he has given us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the test that he's putting us through. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our faith and our iman and our belief and our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us aware that this life in this dunya is but a part of a life which will continue, inshallah, in the Jannah for all of us. The topic of today is Corona, is it an opportunity or is it a catastrophe? First of all, from a spiritual point of view and from a deen point of view, where do we place the coronavirus, this virus that has engulfed the whole of humanity, this virus that has leveled the playing fields for all in the world, whether president, prime minister, king or prince or pauper? We've realized that we have the same material and we have the same vulnerabilities and we are susceptible to the same illnesses and diseases. And nothing stands between cure and illness except the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the modern world, what do we see? The modern world. We see arrogance. We see the lack of humility. And we see that man has given himself the status of a creator. He has created science. He has created medicine. He has created the ships that sail on the sea. He has created all these great things and he attributes that to his own power and his own knowledge and his own whatever he may call himself, great or powerful and so forth and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-An'am verse 42 to 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ. Allah says, we have sent before you many prophets, many people who came with the message of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ, and we tested them. وَالْضَرَّاءِ, we tested them with calamities. We tested them with bad times. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. And why did we do this? What was the purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he did this in order for them to develop humility. Because they were arrogant. They were arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا جَاءُهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send all these messages to them thinking that they will become humble. But what happened? وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. their hearts became hard. Their minds became strong and their hearts became hard. And what does Allah say? وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ And shaitan, of course, came along and took the gap. And he made whatever they did beautiful to them. Oh, this is mashallah. This is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, And when they forgot the message, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, When man forgot the message, what did Allah do to them? Punish them? No. Allah says, when they forgot, I opened for them the doors of all the good of the world. Everything came to them. Money, wealth, everything came to them. And what happened? Allah says, Hatta idha farihu, until they reach the pinnacle of enjoyment. I would say they enjoy everything they've enjoyed. There's nothing in the world that they haven't enjoyed. Hatta idha, all the good things I gave them, they did not attribute it to my generosity. They attributed it to themselves. What does Allah say? Hatta idha farihu, until they reach the pinnacle of enjoyment, bima utu, with that which I gave them, which they were given by me, akhadnahum baghtatan. فَإِذَاهُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when we call them to account, what happened? They were plunged into despair. Like mankind, all of humanity, plunge into despair. There is not a single good report in the newspapers or on internet, or wherever you may see on television, about this being a mercy from God, or it being a test from God, whatever it may be. It's all about doom and gloom and doom and gloom and depression. Muslims see it otherwise. Muslims see it as a test. Muslims see it also. And we should see it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a test of our humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have, of course, arrogance comes in many forms today. We have individual arrogance. People don't have any respect for each other anymore. And we have national arrogance. We have countries that say we are the greatest, we want to be the greatest, we want to make ourselves great again, and everybody's competing on the stage of greatness. We have global arrogance in that one country thinks that they are the they manufacture everything for the world, they can overtake the world, the others have the biggest army and they can conquer the world. And this was the attitude of the people of Ad and Thamud. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to them? What did they say? What was their cry? Their cry was, Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Ad and Thamud said, look at the world. Who is most strong? Who is the strongest in the world today? Who is the most powerful in the world today? They challenged the world, said, we are the most powerful. And with Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah sent them just the wind. Wind. I mean, we take a breeze as a beautiful thing, we take wind as a good thing. And Allah destroyed them just with the wind. A few days of wind and they were gone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَسْتَحَبَّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى They chose blindness in the place of guidance. Instead of taking the test which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them with humbleness and humility and accept it and change their lives, no. They continued. So when we look at the world today, we see all the suffering, we see all the inequalities, and we see the arrogance of nations. Do these nations think that they will get away with it? Do Muslims think what they do, they will get away with it? Muslims killing Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asleep. Allah says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah ma'adallah. Or Allah doesn't see what they're doing, or Allah will not, they have to wait for Qiyamah for retribution and punishment. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. That's why He sends us these calamities. So that we may change our behavior on the dunya and get Jannah in the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will send you tests from where you will never dream where it will come from. Like the coronavirus. Who dreamed that this would happen? Nobody. People forecast it. There was a man who forecast, a great scholar in Jordan, that there would be a depression, the worst depression in the world in 2020. A man-made one, obviously. But nobody could prophesy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send this kind of witness. So what is this for us? For Muslims, this is an opportunity and a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that Islam is a religion of wake up. That we need to wake up as human beings and Muslims. We are human beings already, we have to wake up as Muslims. You know, Muslims, we seem to suffer from what is called spiritual Alzheimer's. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten where we belong. We have forgotten where we come from. And we have forgotten where we're going. The world has entranced us to such an extent that we think, oh, this is just it. This is it. Some people look in the mirror and say, this is it. This is my house, my car, my job. And this is never going to end. And everyone, what happens in the akhirah, I've got the dunya. Subhanallah, astaghfirullah. This dunya is but a needle being sunk in the ocean. And whatever it comes up with, that is the dunya. Prophet ﷺ said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل جناح بعودة لما سقى الله كافرا شربة ماء. Nabi Sallam said, if Allah had equated this world, if the value of this world in the sight of Allah was equal to the wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given disbelievers a drop of water to drink. So this world in the eyes of Allah does not have the value of a wing of a mosquito. So we live in times of ghafla. We are unmindful of who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. I want to give an example of Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik was one of the great Sahaba of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had one day called for an army to be formed to make war with the Byzantine army in the north of the Arabian Peninsula. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for an Nabi gathered a massive army. Nabi told them the difficulties they were going to go in winter, go through the desert, had to prepare themselves. And Ka'b ibn Malik, he decided with two others, in fact, there were 80 people who stayed behind in Medina, who did not join the Prophet ﷺ. But this is specifically about Ka'b ibn Malik, one of the Sahaba who participated in all the jihad, except this one. And he gives the reason. He says, I didn't participate in this one because at the time when the Prophet made this call, I was for the first time in my life, I had two she-camels. I was living comfortably. I was well off. And I decided I'm not going to go on this jihad with the Prophet. So when the Prophet came back, and while the Prophet was coming back, he thought to himself, what am I going to say to the Prophet ﷺ when he asks me, why did not join the jihad? And when the Prophet came back and in the masjid, they all came. The 80 people came who didn't join the Prophet. All of them made excuses. And when it was Ka'ab's time and the Prophet forgave them, Ka'ab said, Ya Rasulullah, if you were any other man, I would have given you the best of excuses that I could. But knowing who you are and knowing that we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will tell the absolute truth. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have no excuse. No excuse. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, then I leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah must decide your case. And he went home and he was told by the Sahaba that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had decreed that nobody should greet him, nobody should visit him, and he should be confined to his house. Exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to us. This was his disobedience. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed social isolation. Imagine Muslims don't greet you, they don't look at you. Although he did go to the masjid every day, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignored him. The Prophet saw that he was looking, the Prophet would look away. Subhanallah. And for 40 days, he made dhikr, he made salah, he recited Quran, and for 40 days, he stayed at home. And then he got the message from the Prophet ﷺ that he mustn't go to his wife, leave his wife. So Prophet, he sent a message, asked the Prophet, must I divorce her? Prophet said, no, mustn't go near, don't touch her. So he sent his wife to her parents and he was at home alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after 50 days, on the 50th day, he got the news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him. What did he think? He thought, وَظَنُّ أَلَّا مَلْجَى مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَّا. He realized, when he was forgiven, he realized, وَظَنُّ, he realized, أَلَّا مَلْجَى, that you cannot run away from Allah except to Allah. When you run away from Allah, you're in fact running towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our destination on this dunya, no matter where we turn, what we do, how we try and deny or overlook, our journey is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the situation we are in. We're in a situation where we have opportunity as well. It's a calamity, yes. It's a test, yes. But what are the opportunities? That's what a businessman looks at, isn't it? In all the depression that we have, that is what we, as the Prophet ﷺ was a trader, and they knew how to look at benefits. So people say we are living in difficult times. I say we are living in times of great opportunity. Let's look at the lockdown. We are in lockdown. And many people have difficulty. I don't deny that there are a lot of difficulties around. But what are the benefits, if there are any benefits? For me, the greatest benefit is that Allah has given us time, something that we never had before. We're always in a hurry, always in a rush. When we go and make salah, what do we say? Ekhat khaw salamak. Quickly going to make salah. Because I have to do this, I have to eat, I have to have an appointment, I have to go to work. Etc., etc., etc. Now we have, and what do we think about? Now that we sit at home, what do we think? We think about death. We think about life. We're afraid. We think about the future. We think about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Allah did, subhanallah. Man is powerless, completely powerless. 7 billion people. We look at the helpless of ourselves. And then, of course, we reflect upon our relationships. If we're married, now we're now in the house the whole day with our wives and our husbands. We have an opportunity to create a better relationship or to create a relationship where there was no relationship. Because most of us work 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day, we're away from home. And the wife also works. And when we come home at night, we're so busy with the children, whatever we are, there's no time to build relationships. Now we have the time. This is a wonderful opportunity with our parents, with our children. And with our families, pick up the phone and say, hello, you have all the time now to do it. All those family members that you haven't seen for a long time, phone them. Or say, if you don't have the courage to phone them, at least send them a WhatsApp message. But what is the most important relationship in our lives? The most important relationship is our relationship as Muslims with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it? That is the relationship that's going to endure. All the other relationships will come to an end. If our wives die, we just marry another wife. If our husbands die and we still can, we marry another husband. We can adopt children. We can make family out of their friends. But we can't replace our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how is it possible to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You ask, how do I do that? Any relationship is built on communication. If you don't have communication, there's no relationship. The same applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a relationship is built upon goodness. You cannot have a relationship with anybody unless there's an element of goodness. So Allah, the Prophet, there's a beautiful hadith which we all know, where Jibreel came and he sat in front of the Prophet and asked the Prophet questions, and then finally asked the Prophet, he said to the Prophet, ما هو الإحسان? What is goodness? And Jibreel replied and he said, أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يراك. Jibreel said, goodness is, because Jibreel brings the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goodness is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. For if you cannot see Him, then certainly He can see you. And I want to focus for the last 10 minutes of this talk, this Jum'ah talk, on that communication which is so vital to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I speak from my personal experience at home, now that I make salah at home with my wife, how I have gone on a journey of discovery. I've been making salah for a long time. Been imam for many years. But I've now discovered the essence of ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what it means. How can you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are many ways to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many ways of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People make dhikrullah, people read the Quran. People do many things. They give sadaqah, they do. I mean, we have five pillars. We give zakah, we go for hajj. We fast in the month of Ramadan. These are all ibadah. But salah has no equal. Because salah is the one ibadah that is not exchangeable for another day or another time. If you are by your full senses, even if you are paralyzed, you still have to make salah in your head or by moving your eyes. And what is salah? What is salah? I want to give you the reference of a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. It's in Surah Tawbah. No, not Surah Taha, the 20th Surah. Verse 13 and 14. Because what do we seek for? We always seek for the best. So we talk about communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the best way of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, today, you know, we have so many forms of communication with one another. I remember when I was a kid, we didn't even have a telephone. Today we have so many. We can speak to somebody and see him, like you. I speak to you and you can't see me, but I can. You can see me, but I can't see you. This wasn't possible to give a lecture from my study. So many things have changed, but in Islam it's always been constant. And what does Allah say? What is the best form of dhikrullah? Best form. Allah, let's listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Taha, verse 13 and 14. He speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Innani anallah, says, I am Allah. Simple. Innani, verily I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. There is no ilah besides me. Besides I. Allah says, besides I. Allah refers to himself, besides I. Then Allah says to us, so I'm your Lord. I created the universe. If you doubt it, you can't doubt this. Corona should teach you that you can't doubt the greatness and the all-pervasiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what does Allah say after that? Allah says, fa'budni, so worship me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa aqimi salata li dhikri. Establish regular prayer if you want to remember me. Dhikr. Aqimi salata li dhikri. Make salah for my dhikr. So the best always comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's the best advice. If you want to remember Allah, if you want to get close to Allah, there's only one way to do it. Because we know people seek many ways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, this is my way. أقيم الصلاة لذكري. So salah is two things. Salah is dua and salah is ibadah. It's dua and ibadah. And I want to bring you to some understanding of the essence of salah. You know, when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, it is reported that when he took wudu, he used to shiver. Even if Medina gets very hot, and he used to turn red. And the Sahaba is asking, you know, when you take wudu, why are you shivering? Why are you turning red? I mean, what is it that troubles you? He says, Umar said, when I take wudu, I am preparing myself to stand in front of Allah, and I don't know how am I going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a man going for an interview, he's worried. He's, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen in the interview. Similarly, the salah is like an interview. It's not a face-to-face confrontation. It is a face-to-face meeting. Because Allah says, I can see you. If you can't see me, I can see you. I'm looking at you. I am looking at you. So, one day, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala, and I want you to, when you make salah now, I want you to go back to the salah. And look at the meanings of everything you say from the time you say you're near till the end. What beautiful words we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I want to bring your attention to this fact. There is dua in the salah and there is dua after the salah. You know? After the salah, we make dhikrullah and then we make dua. But there is also dua in the salah. And I want to tell you how is the dua in the salah? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he narrates the hadith, and it's in Bukhari. You can go and look it up. Go and look up dua after the salah in Bukhari, the chapter on dua after the salah, and you will find this hadith there. Abu Bakr went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to teach me a dua which I can make in the salah, not after the salah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, so it was common knowledge amongst the companions and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that there is dua in the salah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, make the following dua in the salah. اللهم إني ذنبت ذنوبا كبيرة ولا يغفر ذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Abu Bakr, in the salah, when you make salah, before you make salam, make this dua. Because he specifically asked for the Prophet, give me dua I can make in the salah. And I'll tell you where the dua should be made in the salah. We know we are closest to Allah in the sujood. So you can make it in the sujood. But, and you can also make it before the salam. After you read the tashahud. So you read the tashahud. And we know all of us make dua in the tashahud, after the tashahud. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-nari wa adhab al-qabri wa fitnat al-mahya wal mamad wa fitnat shar masih ad-dajjal. That's a dua. Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave and from Jahannam and so forth. It's a dua. That is the time for salah in the salah. So Abu Bakr used to make that dua after that. What does the dua say? Allahumma inni dhanabtu, O Allah, I have committed many sins. وَلَا يَخْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And nobody can forgive sins except you. فَاخْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. So, give me a forgiveness from you, O Allah, directly from you. وَرْحَمْنِي, and have mercy on me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, you are the most forgiving, most merciful. Imagine this man, who is one of the people promised Jannah on the dunya. But the Prophet gives him this kind of dua to make in the salah, about sin. Forgiveness of sin.
Why? Because the Prophet knew the nature of Abu Bakr, that he was aware of his shortcomings. Despite his greatness, he was aware that he was still human. He still depended on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the last minute to forgive his sins. So Ibn Qayyim says, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah was a scholar, he was a great scholar, but he was a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumullah. He says that when is the best time to make dua? In the salah or after the salah? And he says, when you are in the salah, you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like you got the phone in your hand. You got the phone in your hand and you are speaking to Allah and Allah is speaking back to you. For example, if you come up from the ruku, what do you say? Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah hear those who praise him. And then when we stand, what do we say? Rabbana walakal hamd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the ruku, Allah says, I hear those who praise me. And when we get up, what do we say? When we stand, we say, Rabbana lakal hamd. Allah, all praise is due to you. So there's a conversation. Ibn Qayyim says, when you're in the salah, you're in direct contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So use the time before the salam to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are connected. Because the moment you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the connection is severed. It's cut. The phone line is cut. No more internet. Finish. Khalas. Communication is the direct communication. It's other communication. But the direct communication with Allah is over. It's only for that period of time. So make use. This is what I want to say to you, to make use, and I want to read that dua slowly. There are many duas you can make, duas that you normally make. Allahumma aghfir li dhunubi wa dhunubi walidayya. Allahumma irhamni. Whatever. And of course, the best dua is to say Alhamdulillah. If you don't know what to say, say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And in your mind, you say, Allah, I'm thanking you for everything. I'm in touch with you. I'm in contact with you. You hear me. You listen to me. And I'm saying Alhamdulillah. Allahumma aghfir li. You can say, Allahumma aghfir li. Allahumma aghfir li. Oh, Allah, forgive me. Oh, Allah, forgive me. Allahumma jinni min an-nar, oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. All these du'as you can make, and then after you can make salam, then you make your dhikrullah, then you make your du'a. Subhanallah. This is coming directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best example of the Sahaba alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So, my advice, finally, to all my brothers and my sisters in lockdown, it's going to be Ramadan. It already feels like Ramadan. You're already locked up. Reminds me of the time I was in i'tikaf. So it was a preparation for me for being at home all the time now. But really, it's a great time to reflect. And I want to say to you that now is the time to make your salah properly. With time. Go to the internet. Everything is there. All the meanings of everything you say is in it. Beautiful things you say. And it's the quickest way to Jannah, easiest way to Jannah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for example, if you read 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar after the Salah, what is your reward? The reward is Allah will forgive all your sins. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَدِ الْبَحَرِ. Even if it is as much as the foam on the sea. Subhanallah. You have sin? Now you have the time. Now you don't have to rush when you say salamu alaikum, up and gone. No. You said, well, I've got sin. Allah's given me this time. Let me make that. And if you read the Ayatul Kursi before that, Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. What is the reward of that? The reward of that is that if you read the Ayatul Kursi after the salah as part of your dhikr, if you should pass away after that salah, between that salah and the next salah, you will enter paradise. Jahannam will be haram for you. Just that. Nothing else. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, and when you read your qunut, we must qunut inshallah in every waqt. In every waqt we must make the qunut, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must protect us from this calamity and our families and the ummah. Allah must guide the ummah to the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Then we might again become the exemplary followers of the greatest mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the world, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect you, may Allah protect your families, may Allah forgive us, may Allah forgive our parents, may Allah give that our relationship with our loved ones become truly blessed relationships in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that as we will connect with our families in this month, that we must realize that our biggest connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make, inshallah, that all of us must have a special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, ana inda abdi dhanni bi, that I am what my servant thinks I am. So you can have a special relationship of what you think with Allah. If you think Allah is, mashallah, he's forgiving, he's loving, he's prepared the Jannah for me, then that is your image of Allah. And all of us have a different image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, inshallah. And may we always, 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 whatever I've said today is either from Bukhari or Muslim or Hadith, Sahih, or it is from the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we always go back to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the final message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihima kitab Allahi wa sunnati. I have left for you, my ummah, two things, the Quran and the Sunnah. All the other ideas that people come with, that this one have said that, and I think it's like this, and we think, and this is good, and that. No, no. Only Allah knows what is good for us and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah encourage us, put in our hearts the desire to learn this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah put in our hearts to understand the Quran, inshallah. And I want to just announce that every Sunday at 12 o'clock, I give a lecture. Of course, I do it now as I'm doing it here with you. And you can tune into it, inshallah. You can go to Facebook and type in Academy of Sharia. And the lecture will be live 12 o'clock every Sunday, inshallah, for the lockdown from 12 o'clock onwards. And afterwards, it will also be on YouTube. If you don't have Facebook, then later on, after the lecture is done on Facebook, you can listen to it, inshallah, on YouTube. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, wa nastaghfiruka, wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.